2 Timothy, chapter 4. Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Ready to be offered is, those four words are one word in Greek, spendo. And it means to pour out as a drink offering. Now, the drink offering in the Old Testament, the drink offering was poured on the sacrifice. And the drink offering, almost in every case, signifies or was a type of the blood of Christ. And so when he says he's ready to be offered, it means he's saying, and with these unique words, he's saying he's ready to be poured out as a drink offering. That means he knows his blood is going to be shed. Now, let's go to a few places for the drink offering. Go to Hosea chapter 9. The scriptures we're going to read in the Old Testament about the drink offering are when it was not seen correctly. Those in the Old Testament, remember it says that everything in the Old Testament, it was enough for salvation. And it was in Jesus Christ. It was enough. By the understanding of the Old Testament, you see Jesus Christ as your life. You see him in you. And so in Hosea, in verse 1, chapter 9, verse 1, rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor, threshing floor. The floor and the wine press shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fall in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will you do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? When it says the day of the feast, it always signifies the Feast of Tabernacles or the marriage supper of the Lamb. And everything is dependent on that's the final set time of the Lord. And as you know, the requirement to enter the eighth day or to celebrate the eighth day, you read the book of Ecclesiastes on the eve of the seventh day. And you read and comprehend and be apprehended by it, otherwise your drink offering and your sacrifices and everything you do is worthless. And the essence of that is that all human effort is vain and empty and fruitless and without purpose. And so if you have any or the slightest eye motive, then your drink offering cannot be accepted, even if you were, as Paul, if your blood was poured out as a drink offering. Do you understand what that means? Everything is dependent on your internal apprehension. It matters not what you do outwardly. Let's look at a more intense one. Let's go to the Buckner chapter, Isaiah 57. The righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. And what it says is, the righteous one perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. He is perishing within you because of your continued concern with self. You understand that? The righteous one is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. If you think you are suffering or enduring something, then you miss the whole mystery of God. Everything that happens, your suffering is His sufferings. You are no longer in the picture in any way.
Is that where you say you are not the subject of your sins?
Amen. So the righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. That's the ones that, the merciful. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourself? Against whom make you a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression and a seed of falsehood? Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks, among the smooth stones of the stream is thy only portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured out a drink offering, and thou hast offered a meat offering, should I receive comfort in them. Or in these, upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set thy bed, even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. And that's what you do in the chambers of your mind whenever there's the I motive in your thoughts. You got it? Behind the doors also and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up, and hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king, the false king, with thy ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. That's what happens in the chambers of your mind. You go up to these mountains of familiar places that you've done all your life to try to find something. And there's nothing there, but you, in your imagination, you create a reality. Amen?
Yeah, I was thinking about the perfumes.
Like, are your thoughts.
And you're trying to increase or attract success or something to, you know, make a sweet smell.
Amen. But the word that the one, well, and then this is the great one. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope, for thou hast found the life of thine own hand, and therefore thou wast not grieved. You must be grieved for your own idiocy, your own self-seeking, your own concerns with self. Until you finally see that you are dead. You're not trying to die. You are dead. And the one that you have discovered yourself to other than Him is the God of this world. And you serve Him when you serve self. And that's all the human race does. Until you come to this incredible mystery of God. And there you pour your drink offering and you offer your meat offerings to someone other than. You remember I've said so often, there's no such thing as an atheist. You tithe to your chief God. Every man tithes. You pray to your chief God because your prayers are your thoughts. You sacrifice to your chief God because you sacrifice to what your mind has created. And then you worship what you sacrifice to. So no man is an atheist. They just pray to the stupid God themselves, which in turn, in reality, is the God of this world. Amen?
Amen. It's sort of like finding out what the drink offering is by finding out what it's not.
Amen.
And what's points back to what it is.
Let's go to John 6. Remember, we're studying the drink offering in terms of what it means. This is the incredible place where he just fed the 5,000, and he said these few words, and 9,988 left him. And this is what he said. The meat.
What verse?
Starting verse 48. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat or food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, they knew what this meant because that's the whole mystery of what the Messiah is. What you eat is what gives you sustenance and satisfaction and pleasure. What you drink is what gives you worth. Unless you eat his flesh, alone, unless you gain sustenance and satisfaction from him alone, then you're eating the bread of falsehood. And unless your worth comes from his blood alone, then you're drinking the blood of the evil one. Amen?
Yeah, they weren't supposed to drink any blood at all.
That's right.
Only this blood is life.
Amen. Life is in the blood. All right, let's go to a couple more. Go to Philippians 2. No, go to Philippians 1 first. Now, in order to make sense, we've got to go to Philippians 2 first. I'm sorry.
Chapter 2.
Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And again, the predicate of that is that you're gone. You've disowned yourself. You've been buried in baptism. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, or people, among whom you shine as the lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and this is the one, that if I be offered, and that's the same word, spendo, if I be offered as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. So he is taking the lowest position because he's saying that your faith and sacrifice is his only reason for living. It's ultimate humility. He's only fulfilled as we are fulfilled. Amen?
And so that's poured out.
Poured out.
He said it was poured out on the sacrifice. And
right. He's saying his blood is, symbolically, his blood is poured out on that which is the better sacrifice, which is the faith and sacrifice of the people. Now, one more, Philippians 2. Philippians 1. Here he said the time here, it says he's ready to be offered and the time of his departure is at hand. The time is kairos instead of chronos. Chronos is time in general. Kairos is a set time. And so he's saying the set time of his departure. And the word departure is a Greek word analysis, which means to unloose the moorings, just like you would of a ship. You're letting the ship has been tied to the dock, and now those moorings are cut or loosed. So his departure, so his real being, he's putting off the old, and his departure, he's... And that can't happen. Remember, Paul was a Roman citizen, and for the death penalty of this extreme case, he had to go before the tribunal. And the tribunal was made up of Nero and two of his leaders of the government. He had been arrested, but he was in a private home or in within the palace area all up until this time. Then he was found guilty. And once he was found guilty of the charge, then they removed him from that rather comfortable living in the palace area. He was under guard, but he still taught and still carried on a church. He was now moved into the deepest, dankest dungeon that there is in Rome, with no light. It's way down below the earth. And that's where he's writing this last letter from. And he's saying now his time of departure is at hand. He knows he's going to be found guilty. He can't be crucified, because Roman citizens couldn't be crucified. He knew that his death sentence was going to be beheading. And that's why he used this spendo, the pour out as a drink offering. But Nero didn't take his life, because his life could not have been taken because until the time set by God was there. God is always in control. Nothing can happen to him and nothing can happen to you until it's always God working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen?
What verse was that where he was talking about?
What are you talking about?
Chapter 1.
No, we haven't studied chapter 1 yet. This is what we're studying in chapter, and I'm just getting there. In 2 Timothy 4, he's ready to be offered, the time of his departure at hand. Now, the word departure here is this analysis, which unloosing from the moorings. He knew he'd be, but now, go to Philippians 1, verse 23. Start 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart, this unloosing the moorings, to be with God, but to be with and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He was saying, even this is just a few months before his first sentence. He's writing to the Philippians. He wants to be with God. He wants this departure more than anything in his life. But he knows for the present that departure is being delayed because it benefits the Philippians. Amen? Back to 2 Timothy. Ready to be offered. The time of his departure is at hand. At hand is, it's there. It means to be, it means literally, it's to stand over. It's the instant, the present. He knew, boom, it was going to happen. All right. Back to 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7. Yep. Wait, we just finished verse 6. Now verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. When you hear these prosperity preachers saying that if you're suffering, you're not in the will of God, if you're sick, you're not in the will of God, on and on and on, they're just ignorant asses. This good fight I have fought is the word agonizomai, which we get our word agony. It's used in contending in public games. It's used in engaging in conflict, and it's used in the opposition that mostly from our minds and in temptation. So let's look at a couple of them. In the public games is 1 Corinthians 9. Remember, this is the word agonize, oh my. Verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law in God, but under the law in Christ, that I may gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now what does all that mean? To become as? To the Jew I become as a Jew, and to the weak I became as a weak. To those under the law I became as under the law. You can't do that unless you have compassion, the idea of suffering with. You can say, to the rich, I became as rich, to the poor, as I became as poor, to the children, I became as children, whatever it is. And in that position of compassion, you understand and have empathy with the position they're in. If you're an atheist, you can be as an atheist. You understand? It's so that you understand and have compassion and know exactly where they are at that moment.
It kind of requires you to get out of yourself, though.
You get out of yourself.
Otherwise, you're thinking.
Otherwise, you have stands and all these other positions where you can be. To the Democrat, I became as a Democrat. To the Republican, I became as a Republican. To the Communist, I became as a Communist. Whatever it is, so that you are taking no position within time and space. There is nothing right or wrong in time and space. It's all crap. And that's why taking a stand, whether it's political or not, you're destroying the witness because you've made yourself an enemy. Amen? All right, but that's not what we're studying. Verse 24, know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. Now, this next verse, in 25, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. The word strive there, every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now, he's using this metaphor here of the Greek metaphor of athletes that are running in a race, a marathon, if you will. And he's saying, he's using that as the example of what our life is. So, if you have the possibility of being an Olympic athlete, then you are temperate in all things because everything that you do is pointed towards that one idea of winning the marathon. Winning the race, so you eat properly. You do all the right exercises to increase your blood. Increase the oxygen in your blood. The same is true as a believer. We are running the race in terms of the metaphor. And everything that we do, every thought is brought into captivity to that one idea, that one goal. You can't do this until you know everything else is crap. Otherwise, you become a hypocrite. You understand this? So that's what this agonizing, he's fought, he's agonized for this one purpose. And he is no different than you and I.
And in the end, it's for somebody else.
Right. All right. Let's go to John 18. And the mystery is that's. You have to set aside everything. You've disowned everything about you. Jesus is before Pilate. This will be the last one we study today. Verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went out into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusations bring you against this man? And they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then Pilate said unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of it? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And this is the one, this scripture is just should echo in all of our, everything in our lives if we ever think about getting in a war. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should be, not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And that's fight there, is the gauge in conflict. He's saying that if his kingdom were really of this world, in an instant he would have destroyed the enemies. If his kingdom had to do with your healing, then in an instant he would have healed you. If his kingdom had to do with your financial status, in an instant you would be super rich. You understand? His kingdom and his, what's going on in you at this time, is exactly what it should be for his purpose. Your sufferings are not yours, they're his. Your confusion is not yours, it's his. So that's the struggle. That's the agonizing that you go through. It's not about you. And the minute you think it's about you, then you're in the crap again. Amen? All right. We studied a lot this morning, but I hope you understand. Any thoughts? Let me just give you. It says, "I have fought." That's the word we're studying. The good fight. He's not saying that it was his fight that was good. He was saying the one singular good fight is what he has been striving in. That good fight, that only fight, with a definite article in the Greek, it means that this is the great temptation, the great, you know, everything, all of the stuff. We were walking through the valley of the shadow of death. What is the great tribulation, all of the other things. It's all of time and space. And the good fight is for you to remain on the mercy seat no matter what transpires in you. And everything that's transpiring in you is of him to see if it can pull you off the mercy seat.
Yeah. It's not talking about, "I did this really well."
No. It's about the fight that's good. Okay? Please hear this. Stop thinking anything's going on with you. You're never judged by what you don't have. Just be faithful of things that are put in front of you. Take it, big guy. Mm-hmm.